I'm going to start by thanking you for having me here today, and particularly thanking Reverend Roger for the invitation to be here with you. You may not be aware, but Roger is a longtime supporter of the Justice Ministry and has been very active, and we appreciate his service. He represents you very well in the larger UU community, and I want to pass along both my gratitude for his service and make sure you are aware that he's out there doing works not just here, but beyond the walls that reflect very well on you all. You know, today is an important anniversary in our history, and I honestly didn't realize that until probably Monday of last week. And for me, it touches home. It's an anniversary of an event that happened 49 years ago today. Now, let me preface this by telling you, as a kid being raised in Virginia, about 45-minute drive from Washington, D.C., I grew up with a very different view of justice and politics than I have now. Of course, the root word of politics comes from poly, meaning many, and ticks, meaning blood-sucking creatures. But in reality, my view growing up was that all policies were derived from politics, which was derived from the always revered democratic process. Justice to me was simply legal justice. The judicial system, the only connection between justice and policies was that checks and balances thing in chapter 4 of my government textbook. This view is the perspective of privilege, the perspective of a child who grew up in a wealthy suburb and was able to ignore the systems of oppression that lurked around every corner and behind every door. But not my door. To me, democracy worked perfectly. The will of the people be done, and policies based on our values as a society will naturally come forward. Naivete at its best. Fortunately, I grew up working on political campaigns around the South, particularly in Texas. I saw firsthand voters' rights being suppressed with police cars running those zero-tolerance checkpoints to keep communities safe on election day, spanning the one bridge that connected a community to their polling location. I witnessed illegal mid-decade redistricting attempts designed entirely to strip majority-minority communities of their power. I was awakened. And one of the things that attracted me to Unitarian Universalism is our commitment to social justice. Our history, as you use, is rich with people who looked at justice beyond what may be popular and to what is right. This weekend, as I said, marks an important anniversary. In response to the violence encountered at the start of the march from Selma to Montgomery, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. issued an urgent call for all concerned clergy and citizens to join the efforts. Reverend James J. Reeb, a Unitarian minister from Boston, answered that call. 49 years ago today, March 9th, after eating dinner at an integrated restaurant with two other Unitarian ministers, the group was attacked. While his colleagues escaped harm, Reeb sustained fatal blows to the head and died 2 days later. At his eulogy of Reverend Reeb on March 15th, Dr. King pondered not who killed James Reeb, but what killed James Reeb. He said, "When we move from the who to the what, the blame is wide, and the responsibility grows. James Reeb was murdered by the indifference of every minister of the gospel who has remained silent behind stained glass. He was murdered by the irrelevancy of a church that will stand amid social evil and serve as a taillight rather than a headlight, an echo rather than a voice. He was murdered by the irresponsibility of every politician who has moved down the path of demagoguery, who has fed his constituents the stale bread of hatred and the spoiled meat of racism. He was murdered by the brutality of every sheriff and law enforcement agent who practices lawlessness in the name of law. He was murdered by the timidity of a federal government that can spend millions of dollars a day to keep troops in Vietnam, yet cannot protect the lives of its own citizens seeking constitutional rights. Yes, he was even murdered by the cowardice of every Negro who tacitly accepts the evil system of segregation, who stands on the sidelines in the midst of a mighty struggle for justice. And while the wording and issues may emerge slightly different if written today, the meaning behind these words continues to speak to us loudly and clearly. And we must decide if we will be a church that is a headlight or a taillight. Think globally, act locally. That was the phrase used for years to encourage people to take small actions to make a difference. And while this in general is a good thing, it can also lead to complacency. If, as individuals and congregations, we all keep our blinders on and do small acts of good, we can feel great about ourselves. At the same time, we will, in effect, be lessening our individual pain while allowing ingrained systems of oppression to continue unchallenged. How often do we settle for the little things? How often do we pat ourselves on the back? How often do we pick up one piece of trash and put it away, feeling content that we have done our share of work for the environment? How often do we attend a lecture or discussion group on an issue and feel we have completed actions with what we are sure are long-reaching ramifications? How often do we talk amongst ourselves about an issue and feel we have built a laudable, multicultural, multigeneral coalition? How often do we ride our bikes and feel we have saved the world from climate change? Or visit a soup kitchen and leave feeling we have completed our work for economic justice for that month? I know I have been guilty of this sort of thing many times. Service is critical. With funding for our social services being cut to historic lows at all levels of government, churches and community organizations are being asked to step in and play a larger role than ever before. Still, service alone is not enough to make the difference we seek. We must go beyond filling the growing needs generated by our government's failed policies to fixing the systems of oppression and injustice that continue to perpetuate these needs. We must be a headlight church, tackling these issues through effective education, advocacy, and witness with our partners and our allies. Grounded in faith and values, putting time and effort into breaking the systems that hold back our neighbors and friends from achieving equality and our children from having a planet to inherit. By working to change the policies that are making the poor among us poorer, working to create policies that will turn the tide on these needs, put our government's priorities in line with our values, and ensure that the democratic process is not beholden to what is popular, but what is right. There are plenty of religions out there, plenty of secular groups too, who will spread their values far and wide. We may not agree with those values, but if we merely accept the outcomes of a democracy in which the silent majority remains silent, then we will forever be feeding an increasing number of homeless in the shelters because our priorities give tax cuts to multi-billion-dollar companies. We will forever be trying to fairly distribute water while we put big ag interests over that of farm workers and their families. By living with the false belief that democracy plus charity is equal to our calling, we will forever be dealing with second-class citizens, environmental refugees, wage inequality. Theologian James Luther Adams wrote, "A church that does not concern itself with the struggle in history for human decency and justice, a church that does not show concern for the shape of things to come, a church that does not attempt to interpret the signs of the times, is not a prophetic church." He goes on to say, "The prophetic liberal church is not a church in which the prophetic function is assigned to merely the few. The prophetic liberal church is the church in which persons think and work together to interpret the signs of the times in the light of their faith, to make explicit through discussion the epical thinking that the times demand. The prophetic liberal church is the church in which all the members share the common responsibility to attempt to foresee the consequences of human behavior, both individual and institutional, with the intention of making history in place of merely being pushed around by it. The issues will come. There will always be work to do. And the arc of the moral universe may bend towards justice, but only if we bend it." Bend is a verb. To change the world, we must think and act in a larger frame. We must stand on the side of love, not on the sidelines. I am now clearly aware of the differences between politics and social justice. I am just as clear that without striving for justice every day, our politics will simply create more and more injustice in society, fueling the need for more shelters, more food and coat drives, more detention center visitation programs, more social services. Dr. King said, "So in his death, James Reeb says something to each of us, black and white alike. He says we must substitute courage for caution, says to us that we must be concerned not merely about who murdered him, but about the system, the way of life, the philosophy which produced the murder. His death says to us that we must work passionately, unrelentingly, to make the American dream a reality so he did not die in vain. This is our call. And we see the tides moving. We see the fruits of our efforts every day. With marriage equality moving across the land, a movement started here in California, taking us one step closer to true equality. With the signing of the Trust Act by Governor Brown last year, the start of a movement to grant rights to immigrant families, we are moving to the day when we respect the worth and dignity of all humankind. We see the human right to water, another first of its kind in the United States, starting in California and now spreading, saying to families, we value your worth and dignity, and we believe you have the right to safe, clean, affordable water. We see coalitions forming and people joining as a united voice for justice. I am glad the work I now do every day with the Unitarian Universalist Justice Ministry of California is helping us answer this call. As a new organization built on the successes of our past, we will continue to lead the way in immigrant justice on the human right to water. In fact, as a side note, the video for the human right to water is finished, and there's some information on the back. There's going to be a screening in this area in May, I believe. And that's going to be coming out this Saturday. We're also restarting the LGBTQ equality and healthcare action teams to safeguard the advances we have made and work toward true equality and opportunity for all. And just last month, we started an economic justice action team. And there's a forum on April 5th in the Bay Area, and information on that is in the back as well. A new component of the UU Justice Ministry is our direct support of congregationally based justice ministries. We are grateful to have Bruce Moulton representing your congregation as the congregational ambassador in this cluster, which is directed by Ramon Urbano from the Davis Church. We're going to continue to offer an annual regional training in addition to our statewide training, but are also working to support congregations with worship resources, religious education materials, assistance in long-term justice planning, and connections to justice efforts and partners at local, statewide, and national levels on the issues you as a congregation are focused on. We are working to become your one-call resource to work on social justice issues through a faith-rooted education and training, as well as advocacy and witness at local, statewide, and national levels. We're building a grassroots movement, one built from the ground up by UUs like you. UUs committed to justice making and growing a church that will answer our call to be a headlight in the night, not a taillight. And we cannot do this alone. I'm grateful to have this congregation as a partner covenanting congregation, and I hope everyone here will join as charter members of the new UUJM. Membership forms are also in the back. Towards the end of the eulogy, Dr. King said, "In spite of the tensions and uncertainties of this period, something profoundly meaningful is taking place. Old systems of exploitation and oppression are passing away. Out of the wombs of a frail world, new systems of justice and equality are being born. Doors of opportunity are gradually being opened. Those at the bottom of society, shirtless and barefoot people of the land, are developing a new sense of somebody-ness, carving a tunnel of hope through the dark mountain of despair. People who stand in darkness have seen a great light. Here and there, an individual or group dares to love and rises to the majestic heights of moral maturity. Whether you are called to organize for justice on a specific issue or organize for justice overall, we have opportunities to be part of this call. As we have seen in the past few years, UUs can make a difference. Be a part of it. Thank you."